Ryan, how are you today? Happy Tuesday to you, sir.
Good, good.
Everything good? We're back at the downtown stomping grounds at Everbank.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, 3 weeks maybe.
Something like that, yeah.
So we drove by the bubble.
Yes.
You can't see inside.
No, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, so
right? The walls are up.
I was sort of peering in there driving by, so you can't see if the field has been put down yet or anything like that. But for some reason, it just looks bigger now.
Because the wall's in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
But
optical illusion.
Yeah.
Same size. They said it'll be ready to go for next week. Might need it next Thursday. You never know.
Well, chances are around here you're going to need
it. You're going to need it at some point. I don't think they're going to use it because of the heat, Doug Marrone has said. By the way, what do you make of Doug Marrone's intimidating scowl on the cover of the 2017 Jaguars Media Guide?
It's like he's sitting on something.
Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think they use the Media Guide as a fan outreach to sell tickets. So I think this is maybe just, given his no-nonsense point of view.
But I could see how that could be appealing to some of the fan base.
It could be.
Who is that crack the skull guy?
Well, especially after, we had lollipops and cotton candy for the last 4 years.
I like lollipops. I like cotton candy. But
do you like it in your football coach, I guess?
Yes.
Is the question. Do you like it? Would you prefer lollipops and cotton candy with a 3-13 record, or would you prefer chewing nails and sitting on something uncomfortable with a 13-3 record?
Well, it's always about me, so I would prefer the lollipops and cotton candy. But if you're a fan, you probably want the other part.
I'm thinking you want the wins. You want the W's. And part of that will kind of bleed into what we're going to discuss today with Blake Bortles. How many games do you think he starts this year? Which I think is an indication, for the most part, of how well you think he plays this year. As Dan and Jeff pointed out during Crosstalk, look, this guy is very tough. What did he miss? One snap last year, I think?
Yeah, end of the first half against Detroit.
Right, entirety of the season, he missed one snap. The guy gets hit a lot. He runs a lot, so he takes some shots.
Big target.
Right. And as much as that was one of the things that was appealing to them, when they drafted him, no matter how big you are, you take enough shots, you get chopped down to size. So far, he hasn't. Mm-hmm. So if you're projecting that, he might only start 12 games because he's going to get hurt, that's a very tough projection. I think the question is, do you think he holds on to the starting quarterback job this year? And in order to do that, we had to determine, what's good enough to get him there. If they hover around 500 for most of the season, I don't think there's much of a question that he will maintain the starting quarterback position. That's the question is, what if they get out of the gate slow? If they're 0-2, at what point does it become must-win time for Blake Bortles to hang on to the starting job, knowing that next year is only guaranteed for injury and not for lack of performance? They could cut him loose if they wanted to.
Well, I think it would be week four. We have a little bit of disagreement on that. I think we've talked about it before. You would cut the cord at week three if they're 0-2. I'd go week three. That Jet game. Then it'd be a question of, who do you go to? I think he's going to start all 16 games because he's proven he can stay healthy. I think he's going to be good enough to make this offense function. It's not going to be an elite offense, but I think with some of the guys returning to form, they with Hearns and A-Rob, I think they're going to get some stuff out of Michael Rivera tight end. I think that's going to be an underrated player this year. And then Fournette, obviously, if he gets any kind of blocking. So I think the quarterback play will be better. That's why I sort of disagreed yesterday with Bovada saying he's the favorite to throw the most interceptions. How can you not make it Jared Goff, who is going to start?
Right, who's locked in as a second-year player who hasn't started one full season with the L.A. Rams. He's going to start every game. You're going to reach a point if Blake Bortles were leading the league in interceptions and they're 3-10 or whatever, he's not going to get the opportunity to finish out the year.
And that's what a couple of followers said, asked about, well, how many is he going to throw? I said, you're not going to get, chances are he's not going to get past 15 because, the longer odds would be if he's going to be allowed to lead the league. So,
but you think in saying that you think he'll play 16 games, you must think he's going to play relatively well, or at least keep the team competitive.
Yeah, and I think a couple that factor, and also I think they feel that he's the best of the three options. Touchdown to interception ratio. I mean, what the hell, I'll go like 25 and 13. I still think he'll throw double-digit interceptions because he's somebody who takes those kind of chances. And for some reason, you know, if you count three or four that goes off guys' hands like he had last year, he had some bad luck interceptions. But, you know, a lot of stations around the country are doing, you know, around the league this week. So I was on with my boys at Honolulu yesterday, and he was asking, well, you know, he's just terrible, isn't he? I said, well, that's just – I said, at this point, I said, it's too convenient to pile on. And, you know, it's not like, you know, by all means, I'm not a Jaguars apologist and I'm not a Blake Bortles apologist, but I don't think he's the biggest problem they have right now.
What do you think is the biggest problem they have?
You don't know who their starting five on the offensive line is going to be on July, what's the date, 18th.
Right.
You should have a little bit of a clue. You know, we can guess a little bit, but are they going to be able to run block? That's concern number one, because they didn't do it last year.
Well, that's a big factor. I think there's a school of thought that says even though you don't know who the starting five is going to be on the offensive line, you could feel that whatever combination they end up with is going to play better than the quarterback position. But that's a matter of personal preference and up for debate.
Yeah, and I think another concern, it was the question yesterday, and we addressed it in yesterday's paper, is what are they going to get out of the pass rush at defensive end? You're not going to count on Calais Campbell to give you 10 sacks from the defensive end position. If he gets to 8 or 9, it's going to be because he has some as a tackle. That brings us to Dante Fowler, which was your landslide winner yesterday, is what kind of camp does he have? Does he not get frustrated? Because clearly he did last year early. You know, does a different voice for him in Marion Hobby get the next step out of him? Because he wasn't very good last year. You could say it was his first year. He had 2 sacks in his second game. So it's not like he had to work his way into shape. So I think Fowler, how they're going to create a sustained pass rush is a concern, because Todd Wash's MO so far is he doesn't blitz a lot. Maybe he will more because he has 2 corners.
We'll go through the article that you wrote or contributed to with the 5 burning questions facing the Jaguars going into training camp. And that was one of them. Who's under the most pressure? Dante Fowler Jr. Certainly Blake Bortles is going to be a candidate for all that. Does Tyler pass along? The Jags eliminated from playoff contention in week 13 last year as they lost to Denver 20-10. If they fall out of playoff contention, is that an, I mean, like at what point, I guess the question is, if they stay in playoff contention or if they're out in November, do you turn the page? You know, that's kind of what you're weighing, I think, here when you're trying to determine how long Blake Bortles ends up the starting quarterback in 2017.
Let me find my schedule here.
Are you going to tell me when they're going to be eliminated from playoff contention?
No, if I could find this.
You're having a good time with the new media guide for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get to that.
Wait, real quick.
You got it?
It's okay. Let's say they're 5-7 in week 12.
Mm-hmm.
Their schedule does soften up down the stretch in terms of at San Francisco, the November 12th, the Chargers at home, I guarantee a Chargers victory that day, by the way, but, you know, at Cleveland in week 11. So, you know, do you give them until week 11, you know, in week 12 where you're at Arizona? So at Cleveland, at Arizona, is that sort of your line there where 11 games in, if you're 4-7, do you say, hey, Jaguars are 4 games out of first with 5 to go. Let's see what Brandon Allen can do.
Yeah, and to be clear, you made the point earlier. You said, I'm giving them 2 games. I think it could be as short as 2 games because those are divisional games. Now, Blake Bortles could play well, and you could still lose football games. I don't think he's getting benched after an 0-2 start. If he plays fairly well, if he plays disastrously and they're 0-2 in the division, I think all bets are off and all scenarios are on the table for the Jags, who are all what they say about winning right now. So that is your question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. How many games will Blake Bortles start, or will he start 12 or more this year for the Jags? And if not, why not? Likely you think it's due to lack of performance. You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, and also on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, 641-1010, if you want to get in on the phone lines, talk any aspect of Jaguar football, and the same number for the text line, driven by Duval Ford. When we come back in a minute, we'll take a look at Ryan's article, Jaguars Roundtable, addressing 5 pre-training camp questions that he did with his new cohort over there at the Florida Times Union, and we'll get into that with John Reed as well. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. Jaguars today just getting started back at the stadium. You know, training camp's right around the corner now, just about a week away. It's 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Folks, if you're looking for the best-kept secret for low prices on tires in Jacksonville, look no further. With over 300,000 tires in their local inventory, Tire Outlet has a solution for everybody. TireOutlet.com, a high-tech website that's easy to use. You choose your make or model. They'll provide the lowest price tire options. You can use your cell phone, hop online, choose tires, and they can usually have your tires sent to any retail store of your choice, ready to put on in less than an hour. I had to use them recently. It was just that easy. Wholesale pricing, premium service. That's TireOutlet.com.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's amazing to me, Ryan, how many people think that one day Kirk Cousins will be doing a liner like that. Hi, this is the quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars. You like that? I'm Kirk Cousins, at least according to Twitter. I don't know. I think it's more wishful thinking and hopeful wish fulfillment that Kirk Cousins gets traded to the Jags. It's not going to happen, folks. Many have suggested that he'll get traded during the season to the Jaguars. Player trades rarely happen in the National Football League. Quarterback trades, even less so. The only reason the Washington Redskins would trade Kirk Cousins if they were an abysmal failure on the road to nowhere, and if that's the case, he's probably not playing that well. Why would you invest in a guy to trade for a guy who's making $23, $24 million this year, who's not playing well, and who's not under contract for you beyond this season?
Yeah, that's not happening. Cousins on DC radio today. He goes, I needed another 6 months to find out about this organization. That is an F you to the Redskins.
Pretty much.
He's going to end up, they could tag him next year, but it's like $34 million. They have plenty of cap space. The Redskins simply don't believe in Kirk Cousins after two good years. He's betting on himself. He's playing for the tag 2 years in a row. If anywhere, he ends up in San Francisco. So it's either Redskins or 49ers.
Look, I understand from his point of view, why would you take $53 million, I think is what they offered him, guaranteed, in the deal, when you've got the $24 million coming to you this year, and if you were to be tagged under the transition tag next year by the Redskins, you would make more than the $53 million guaranteed in the first 2 years of the deal. So why would you agree to tie your fortunes to them? He's already got a ton of money. He made a lot of money last year. The guy's made more money than he probably ever figured he'd make in his life.
Mm-hmm. And an interesting angle by Bruce Allen, publicly revealing their offer.
Right. And the fact that according to him, Cousins' representatives never made a counteroffer of any kind.
Yeah, and that was a little surprising to go that far. I like the transparency because, hey, it's information. That allowed people who cover that team to say, okay, here's what they offered. This is why it didn't make any sense, because you added up the numbers of tag,
right,
tag, as opposed to long-term contract. So, that it reeked of the kind of offer that, okay, we have to make you an offer, but we know you're not going to take it.
Right.
So let's just play this year out.
But at the same time,
sign and trade.
For less informed fans out there, I think when you hear, well, they offered 50-something million guaranteed, I'd take, he's not worth that money. No quarterback's worth that kind of money. Who's Kirk Cousins think he is? Well, Kirk Cousins thinks he's a guy who has leverage, mm-hmm, right? And he's exercising that leverage. The fact that they didn't make an offer, if that reporting is accurate, if what the Redskins said was accurate, and I don't think they'd put that out there to just be blatantly contradicted the next day.
In which it hasn't been.
Right. So if, in fact, his representatives didn't make a counteroffer, they probably said, you know what, we're open to negotiating with the Redskins. Let's see if they can offer us anything that even comes close to interesting us. But they knew, like the Redskins probably did when they put it out there, that he wasn't going to take it. They probably felt like it's pointless to offer a counteroffer to this, because this is so blatantly not in the ballpark of what we're going to take.
Yeah,
and the fact that he might just not want to play there next year.
That's my guess on the reason for a counter, by not having a counter, is they say, okay, they have no faith in us. Let's sign the tag right now, which is guaranteed fully right away in the summer. And hey, let's just do it again next year, because this isn't like he's a, you know, left guard who's getting, or Le'Veon Bell was it 12.1?
12, yeah, a little over 12.
So he's in probably twice that, right? So I mean, it's unprecedented territory in this league for a quarterback to go year by year with the tag, first guy to play with it twice. But I mean, this was, you know, that offer came before Derek Carr and then after Andrew Luck. So
I think first guy to play with it twice on the same team. Didn't Drew Brees get it twice from two? Got it once from two different teams, I think. Mm-hmm. When it worked, because there's a big debate about whether or not he'd be eligible for third time tag money if he got tagged again by the Saints, mm-hmm. but they worked out an extension mm-hmm. at the time.
Yeah, and like I think Revis was a guy that had written in his deal, you can't tag me twice.
Right.
When he ended his holdout a couple years ago, but I mean, the Redskins haven't been around them for 8 years. Is they like drama. They're always looking for the next guy. He's the best. Kirk Cousins is the best quarterback they've had since Mark Rippon. That's 25 years ago. So instead of looking for the next guy, they should have locked him up long term. It would have brought, you know, if you would have paid him market value, would have brought his cap number down, giving you some flexibility, and you wouldn't have had to worry about the quarterback position for another 5 years.
Was Mark Rippon better than Kirk Cousins?
Best since.
Right, that's, you what know, I'm saying. I mean,
he won a Super Bowl. He was a league MVP.
I understand. Was he a league MVP during the regular season?
Well, he was in 91.
You might be right about that, yeah. And if that's the case, Cousins has been super productive. You're almost between a rock and a hard place, because as the guys were discussing with Tony Boselli this morning, a couple of years ago, the Redskins were probably smart not to offer him $20 million a year in a contract. He hadn't.
The one-year wonder thing is totally understandable.
Absolutely.
And because it was clear after his first year that he wasn't going to take the security deal. He was going to bet on himself. So the Redskins said, all right, it's playing under the tag. Okay, he did it again. Granted, he hasn't won a playoff game. Derek Carr hadn't even played in one yet. So, you know, that bar has been obliterated in terms of, you know, you're paying for future projected performance.
Would you take Kirk Cousins right now? I think we've talked about this, but would you sign Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $100 million contract if you're the Jags, if you had the opportunity to do that?
I would.
I would too.
Because it wouldn't cost. Let's say it didn't cost you anything in terms of draft picks or players.
Correct.
You know, if he accepted that deal, it solves a problem because it looks like he's only getting more efficient. And then you can build from there. Okay, we have that taken care of. We think we have that taken care of. Okay, let's address A, B, and C. And, you know, let's say the Jaguars, Bortles was their guy. They felt for the future, and they gave him a little pay as they go extension this offseason. Well, then you can sort of say, okay, do we take care of any of these other guys and put it on this year's cap? As of now, none of these guys are going to be extended by next week,
right?
Unless something happens. And so, you know, if you have the quarterback in place, it has a ripple effect on everybody else.
Yeah, look, some of the knocks on Kirk Cousins are the size. He just doesn't have the physical size. He wouldn't be able to withstand a beating like a guy like Blake Bortles, in fact, could. And who knows if he took some of the shots Blake Bortles took. I don't watch Washington week in, week out that closely to know if he would have held up to it. And he doesn't have that cannon arm, but I think it just goes to show you accuracy is more valued typically in the National Football League and more effective than having that cannon of an arm. Drew Brees, I think, has increased his arm strength as his career has gone on mm-hmm. because he's become a workout machine. But I think they're similar type players, undersized by the measurements that you look for when you're scouting quarterbacks, but incredibly perceptive. They're able to read pre-snap where the ball should go. They get it out of their hands quickly, and when they do, they usually do it with timing and accuracy.
Kirk Cousins has started 19-21-1, 72-42, so plus 30 touchdown interception, completion percentage 65-9. Pretty good.
Yeah. What was the 19-21-1? Was that his record? That's his record. So he's a 500 quarterback, basically.
Yeah. He's been sacked 65 times in 46 games. So he's getting protection because they have an elite left tackle. And then in Sheriff, they spent a top five pick on a guard, which at the time was like, huh?
Well, give me the QB to inter or the TD interception ratio again.
72-42.
That's really good.
So, I mean, last year, his last 2 years, he's been 54-23.
Yeah. That put it out much better than what you're looking at here. You know, you're talking about mid to high 20s, and you're talking about low teens, about a dozen interceptions a year. Mm-hmm. You can live with that. And, you know, he puts up the yardage numbers, the touchdown numbers, all that stuff that goes with it. And, you know, again, the idea that the Jags are making a move for him this year, just for so many reasons, it's not going to happen. And more than likely, it seems like the tea leaves are out there that he wants to reunite with Shanahan out in San Francisco next year, and they've got a spot for him.
Yeah, this is a great July 17th conversation, but if your Cousins, you look at the Niners, has a ton of cap space, do you start at 5 and 150? Minimum.
That's a lot of dough, man. I don't know if the Niners go 5 years, $150 million. You start at $30 million average for Kirk Cousins?
If you're the Niners, and let's say this year you go 3-13.
Right.
And he's like, hey, you're coming here in good faith that we're going to be better.
Right.
You're going to help us make better, so we're gonna blow everybody else out of the water. But, I mean, do they go, what's within 4 and 120? And 75 guaranteed, something just totally.
Right. I just said I'd do 4 years, 100. So I don't know, you know, how much mental gymnastics you need to get to the extra year and the extra $50 million.
Yeah. So, because at 4 and 100, now you're at, like, what was Carr's average is 25.
Right.
So does he want to go now to 27?
Well, that's kind of how it's been working. But that's what the Redskins are saying in part, I think, by saying, you know what, just because the last guy got this doesn't mean you're worth more than that guy because you're the next guy to come up. And they obviously have questions about him. And in the bottom line, Ryan, you're paying a guy to win football games. And I think he has put up good numbers. And a quarterback can't win games all on his own. But he is a below 500 quarterback in that time with the Redskins. And is it worth setting the market at the quarterback position for a guy who hasn't won half of his games for you? Mm-hmm. They feel that it isn't,
they
obviously.
Feel that, yeah. And their offer showed that.
Right.
That from a PR standpoint, the Redskins had to weigh two options. Is it look worse on us if we don't make an offer or if we made one? Well, it's almost like they look worse today because of the offer they gave them, which was like only 2 years guaranteed. But
I can see their
angle.
I can too. I think it's defensible. I would try to sign him for something in the ballpark of what we're talking about. But, you know, he was going to want more guaranteed money out of that deal. And they see him week in, week out. I guess to me, you realize how hard it is to find a quarterback who's good enough to be considered top 15. If you saw that recent poll, I think yesterday came out, a poll of anonymous GMs. Several of them had him as a top 10 or borderline top 10 quarterback in the league. If you got a guy like that, it's tough to replace him mm-hmm. with that level of player. Even though the quarterback crop is going to be really good next year, you know what a crapshoot the NFL draft is? Bird in hand.
Yeah, and I think another thing the Redskins should have considered is just the complete instability they've had at that position.
Right.
That should play into it is, okay, we have a guy in place. He played for a bargain for 4 years. Now he's played for the tag for 2 years. It's the devil you know. Regardless, you know, without the salary getting totally, totally out of control, is it easier to pay a little bit more than you want to for the guy already in the building, or is it easier to start over? I think it's easier to keep the guy in the building.
Speaking of quarterbacks, you stated in your column, along with John Reed, the new writer at the TU, the Jaguars roundtable addressing five pre-training camp questions. The question, what is Coach Doug Marrone's greatest challenge during training camp? You said it's making sure that Blake Bortles is of sound mind and mechanics when the Jags depart for Houston on Saturday, September 9th. We'll get into that coming up in a minute, and we'll continue to talk about the Jags quarterback as well. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010, both on the phone line and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. The question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Will Blake Bortles start 12 or more games for the Jags this year? If not, why? Typically, that why is going to be because you don't think he performed well enough to hang on to the job, but share your thoughts with us on Twitter and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. With Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Ryan, I am the type of guy, Donna Murphy will tell you particularly, that when a shiny object's in the room, I lose all focus. I get distracted.
Are you
going to be distracted now that they're testing out some of the lighting? Max, who works with us on game day down here, does a great job behind the scenes for the Jaguars, came in and said, hey, we're going to pretend like there's a show going on right now in the studio.
Where's my powder?
Isn't this a show is what I would like to inquire. I think he meant one that they would stream on Jaguars.com, but they just had the live cam of the field. The grass looks good out there. You know?
Yeah. Boy, some of those green seats look weathered.
Do they? I didn't really notice. Yeah. I caught it out of the corner of my eye watching the traffic go by there on Gator Bowl Boulevard. So let's get a call in because he's all the way across country right now in Los Angeles where it's not quite 8 a.m. out there. Justin checking in on Jaguars today. Good morning, Justin. How are you?
Good morning, you guys. Good morning.
What's up, man? What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that this is probably one of the best radio shows ever. I listen to you guys every morning, man. Like I said, I'm all the way from Los Angeles. I'm really excited for you guys to take my call, man. I really am.
Well, we appreciate
Don't interrupt them.
Right,
keep talking.
Let's
keep
come
talking.
Off right
keep
there.
Talking.
Best
keep talking.
Radio show ever. Justin, what's on your mind then?
So I'd like to weigh in on the question of the day with regarding Blake Bortles. I think a lot to do with Blake Bortles winning these games or staying in there is a part to do with his receivers. I think Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee, they had a lot of drops last year, and they didn't help those tip balls, intercepted and going the other way. So I think that Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson, I think I heard of Allen Robinson out in Los Angeles working with Randy Moss and Marquise Lee. I think if those guys can step their game up, I think that would be a big help to Blake Bortles winning some ball games and actually having a solid season this year.
Well, I would agree with the receivers, and I'm sure they would agree with you as well. They need to be more productive this year. I'm sure behind closed doors they probably say, well, the quarterback's got to be better too. But, more big plays, and that's what they're banking on, is they're banking on a lot of Leonard Fournette, which begats a lot of play action.
Which sets up a lot of single coverage, you hope, on the outside with 8 and 9 man boxes. Justin, thank you for the call, by the way. I appreciate that, those kind words. But look, Ryan, who is more culpable last year in the failures of the passing game? I guess that's the question. Certainly, if Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, if all these guys catch all the catchable balls that are there for them, that will help. I don't think that was the majority of the problem.
No, I don't think drops was a major issue. I was just looking for that number, and I don't have it on me.
They certainly had some drops.
Yeah, but it wasn't a thing where every week we're talking about it. They had Al Robinson got mugged multiple times in that opening game, and I think like a lot of players on this team and coaches, they had shell shock from that opener. They put so much into it. They had a chance to beat the Packers. They didn't do it. Next week, they get blown out in San Diego. And from there, then you're playing uphill. But you see Allen Robinson doing the right things the offseason. I think it's imperative for Nate Hackett to get him going in the preseason. When he's out there, get him involved. Then you can move on to Marquise Lee. The next step for him is improving that yards per catch. Can he become the downfield threat that he was projected to be when he came out of the USC. And then Allen Hurns, I think he's going to be pretty effective in the slot because he's going to be going against third and fourth corners. He should have an advantage there.
We talk a lot about Blake trying to do the right thing and work on his mechanics, and you wish he didn't have to, but the fact that he's willing to do that, I mean, again, you look at Tom Brady goes to Tom House and works on his mechanics, you say, well, if it's good enough for him, that's great. It's a different set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. But regardless, the best at their craft continue to work at their craft. And we've seen Allen Robinson do that now, working with Randy Moss, Terrell Pryor, and others trying to learn a few maybe subtle tricks that can help make it more like it was 2 years ago when he had 1,400 yards.
And I think an offseason focus for Robinson has been, okay, how do you fight through the coverage when they're putting their hands on you illegally, beyond the rules? So, and that's one thing he talked about in February was, the next step for him is overcoming that. And that's part of the transition to trying to become an elite receiver.
I want to get to some of these talking points here on the Jaguars roundtable that you did on the Florida Times Union or in the Florida Times Union online as well, addressing 5 pre-training camp questions. And the first one, what is Coach Doug Marrone's greatest challenge during training camp? You said making sure Blake is of sound mind and mechanics. Making sure Bortles establishes a mechanical foundation, has a comfort level with Nate Hackett's offense should be Marone's main focus this summer. That means Blake takes more practice snaps. So be it. I guess I go back to the fact that making sure that you have a good mechanical foundation and a comfort level just seems such a rudimentary thing.
That's where we're at.
Right, I know. Yeah. And I guess that, to me, just highlights exactly where we're at. We're taking quarterbacking 201 instead of quarterbacking 420 here.
Yeah, and he wasn't that great in the offseason. I mean, during practices
you could see.
And he's never been a great practice player.
No, he hasn't.
But can they get him confident and staying confident through this preseason so that when the first game comes, he's ready to go and they're still not guessing on, okay, which plays are the best? Is he still doing stuff before and after practice? You know,
is he playing in the back of his mind thinking, I can't throw a pick, I can't throw a pick? He has
to, even though he set him back last year.
Right, because he can't throw those crippling picks, but you can't think about it either. And I think that after the first couple weeks of the season, it was clearly an issue for him.
And the first drive of the season against Green Bay, it was sort of a deflected pass over the middle. They talked all preseason last year, fast start, first drive, tempo.
And then boom.
Turnover. So then you're chasing the game again. So
see if you agree with this this assessment on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Blake's interceptions don't come from being a gunslinger and taking chances. They come from terrible reads and bad throws. There's a huge difference between the two.
Well, there is a huge difference. That's also inaccurate because 2 years ago, that's all we were talking about. He's a gunslinger. He's throwing downfield. That's where some of his picks were. It was the GM and head coach saying, hey, he's a guy who tries to extend the play for better or worse. We're not going to try and break him in that habit. That results in some 50-yard touchdowns and some interceptions 25 yards down the field.
I think how we know with those.
Yeah, how, like, if you look at each interception, if you know what exactly went wrong on every one, then you're inside the building. So to make a judgment like that he's making the wrong read, I'm not going to do that. Because, you know, how many times did maybe the receiver ran the wrong route? Or, I mean, it sounds like you're making excuses for the guy, but each interception is different.
It's possible, certainly, even on ones that look bad, that a receiver, it could be a timing play. You're trying to throw it before he breaks. He breaks inside when he's supposed to go outside, something like that. But there are, to the texter's point, just, I can't tell you what the exact number is, but too many. Because I remember some of them where he's thrown into what seems to be double or triple coverage where there was no reasonable chance to complete a pass. Those are the ones, especially the ones out in the flat, that kill you because they're usually going back the other way or for big yardage. You know, you can, again, scrambling around, trying to make something out of a broken play, chucking it downfield, maybe a low percentage, big reward, big risk. Again, I can live with some of those plays a little bit more because you're going to make some magic on some of those scramble plays as well.
Yeah, I mean, the one at the end of the game in Houston was like triple coverage. I mean, they're at their own, 15?
Right.
You know, to me, that's like, okay, would they, if he had not thrown that pass, would they have won the game? Probably not.
Maybe not.
But a couple of the, you know, he's had a, for some reason, the games against San Diego stand out to me. He's just had some bad ones there where he's trying to, you know, thread the needle. It doesn't see, you know, either didn't see the safety or thought he could get it in there, and a guy like Eric Weddle intercepts him. So, you know, how do they try and prevent those? You know, every fan should be I'll believe it when I see it, because that's the sample size we have right now.
Question number two on your rundown, which players have the most to prove in training camp? Blake would be an obvious way you could go. Did you just, because John went with Blake, did you try to highlight another player?
No repeat. Okay. Questions. No repeat answers. I probably would have went with Fowler anyways.
Okay. That's kind of what I wanted to know. Was it more because of that or more because of you really felt he stood out? Clearly to our listeners yesterday, we tweeted out that poll, about 300 respondents, 73% picked him out of a quartet of players on defense that were under the most pressure this year.
And I think the readers are probably on the same page with me on this one. Is it would be very easy to pick Bortles, but you know he's going to be the week one guy. You know he's going to have a really chance to start. How much is Dante Fowler going to play? They really like Ngakoue. He seems to pick up where he left off. You know, is Fowler a sub-package pass rusher? Can he get some early down work in base defense? So, you know, can he – has he developed some other moves and a pass rushing plan, as they call it? Last year he was rolling along against Josh Wells, via Josh Wells, and then he scrimmaged against Tampa –
uh-oh.
Got his hat handed
right
to him.
DeMar Dotson,
like, he lost
him
for the year. Yeah. So it's just like, you know, is does he have to become more mentally tough? Is that, you know, they've talked about how he has to, they fixed his stance. What the hell was that last year? You know, so.
How long does it take to fix a stance?
Yeah. How, like, why didn't, wasn't it noticed before?
Right.
So.
And if it was, why wasn't it corrected earlier? Yeah. Kind of thing. So. Yeah, he is. I think he's under a lot of pressure for his own career and his own place in the big scheme of things with the Jaguars. But in terms of the importance of the Jags, like I would, and again, that wasn't the question. But I think Miles Jack, for instance, there's more importance. Even though they could go back to Posluszny, you don't want to take that step backwards. Look, if Fowler beats out Ngakoue, they're going to be happy. If Ngakoue beats out Fowler, I think they'll be happy. They'll be, as long as one of those guys is performing at a relatively high level. I think there's a lot more risk inherent with the move to put Miles Jack in sight unseen at the middle linebacker.
Yeah, you know, and I sort of didn't write about Jack on Monday because I knew I'd be writing about him today. So sort of a motivation there, but and one. With the Miles Jack thing is when he's out there, you're not really going to know until the games, okay, is, you know, how much are they going to have him cover? Is it going to be Telvin Smith out there the entire time as a three-down player? Do they have something in store for Posluszny in certain nickel packages? So it's, in terms of getting guys lined up right, it's a veteran enough defense that they should be able to help him with that. So I don't think that'll be a big issue, but we haven't really seen Miles Jack do the things, have a chance to do the things he does best at UCLA. So it's going to be interesting to see how he makes that transition.
The next question, the Jags injuries, when you talk about the specific ones here, Barry Church, Tashaun Gibson, Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Colvin, that's four guys in the secondary, and add T.J. Yeldon in there. Are they a concern? Are they worth worrying about? You think they are because – four out of those five hit one major position.
Yeah, and that's the main reason. If it was a corner here or a tailback or a tight end more spread out, is then to say, okay, hey, you know, they got the depth to get through camp, but these are three starters and basically a fourth starter in Colvin. So do they start on PUP? Are they limited at all when the camp starts? I mean, I would assume Barry Church would be anyway as a veteran. And that's another thing. How does Doug Marrone handle the veterans during camp, especially the 4 days of joint practices? So I think I call it a concern because the seriousness isn't known, and also it's all at one position group. And do, like with Church especially, a back injury, does that impact other parts for him, or is it flare up again? Does he need to be managed throughout the season? So I think it's something to be concerned about, something worth monitoring.
Right. It's worth monitoring, as you said, in part because we don't know the severity of these things, and they're not compelled to tell us what the extent of these injuries are. So you get into training camp, we'll see if these guys are back on the field as early as next Thursday.
Yeah, and I thought it was I thought it was telling, and others agreed with me when I asked Doug Marrone that last day, saying, hey, these guys can be ready for camp. That's 6 weeks away. They've been out 6 weeks at least. He said he, you know, didn't have to tell us, but to me it was like if he had said,
if it was good news, you wouldn't mind sharing it.
Yeah, and I think at that point any good news would have been good to get out.
Right, I suppose, but you also can think in the back of your mind, well, if I tell him this and it's good news, they'll know for sure the next time I don't say anything that it's not good news.
Well, no, part of his excuse was, well, he said that one time and people called him a liar.
You're not trying to play gotcha.
I'm not going to play gotcha because, like, you know, let's say he would have said, hey, Barry Church is going to be ready for the first day of camp. And we get to July 27th and Barry Church is on PUP. I'm not going to start my question saying, liar! I'm going to say, hey, was there kind of some kind of setback? You know, I'm not gonna point out that, you know, the information we had at the time you're telling us. So, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
Provide that information.
The other thing in here, and we'll save the other two for after the top of the hour, where you said don't sleep on T.J. Yeldon's injury. and you know, the role that they have in mind for him as a third down back. If everyone's healthy, Fournette, Ivory, Yeldon, give me a typical week's worth of looks and plays and snaps.
Well, since they're going to run it 60 times a game. I think
you'll be okay with that if they're ripping off 50-yard runs.
Yeah, but. I mean, the games will be over in 2 hours.
True.
Let's say Fournette, you know, what last year nobody had 20 carries per game in the NFL, even Elliott. So let's say Fournette's at like 16.
Okay.
Just carries. Let's say Ivory gives you 7, so then you got 23. I don't think T.J. Yeldon's going to have a lot of carries because he's going to be out there so much on third down, but I think he has a chance to play 18 snaps a game. So he does the pass protection and the receiving pretty well. Ivory wasn't asked to do that last year. Fournette wasn't asked that to do at LSU. And if you have a good third down back, that's a great excuse to get Leonard off the field for a quick snap.
256. If you had 16 carries a game, you have 256. I think he'll be north of that. If I'm assuming health, if he plays all 16 games, I think he'll be north of 270, maybe even 280 in terms of carries. That's my opinion. And then whatever he can contribute in the passing game as well. We'll come back. We got This State in Football. Oh, wait till you hear the birthday list for today. Wait till you hear it, Ryan O'Halloran, and also the Honda Drive around the NFL, and catch up on everything going around the National Football League. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board and be a part of the program, either on the phone line or the text line driven by Duval Ford. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, here for Harry's Razors. The best shave on the market comes from a Harry's Razors. You know, I'm like you guys for years. I probably tried every different brand out there. Some of them work better than others, but all of them were probably too expensive. And boy, I tell you what, if you go to a local big box store, it takes such a chore just to get your hands on them. They got them behind a plexiglass cabinet packaging that's nearly impossible to open with crazy prices. Well, Harry's cut out the middleman by buying a factory and shipping them factory direct to your front door on your schedule. As I said, the best blades you're going to get, you can get their set for free right now if you just cover shipping. A free trial set includes an ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. I partner with Harry's to bring you this incredible offer. The way to get it, head to harrys.com/Mike, and you can get it right now. Get that free trial set, including a handle blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover by going to harrys.com/Mike. That's harrys.com/Mike. Don't wait. Get started shaving better with Harry's today.
And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, This Date in Football History. Hey, Tyler, why don't you give O'Halloran a clue as to how old everybody is today before we do This Date in Football History?
I didn't say a number.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Well, it's all over the 1010 Twitter.
Oh. Well, excuse us for tweeting out. Did we not sufficiently fate you on your birthday? Or is this a...
Well, they should realize who's on the show today. I guess the birthdays.
You do guess the birthdays,
I probably
right.
Would have guessed higher for...
Would you?
Yeah.
Have gone higher than... We'll get to Loggeman. This Date in Football History presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. It was on this date, February 18th, 1969, Joe Namath agreed to sell his interest in the bar titled Bachelor's 3 in Manhattan. It was that or retire from the National Football League. At least that's what Pete Rozelle said. It had a reputation of hosting a lot of quote-unquote underworld figures at this bar, and the confluence of football and guys that may have an interest in the bookmaking aspects of sports didn't sit well
wise
with
guys.
The National Football League, the wise guys. So after initially saying he was going to retire from the National Football League, Joe Namath relented and sold his interest in that bar. It was on this date in 1994, fresh off his performance in the World Cup for the United States, that Tony Maiola would go on to sign with the New York Jets as a place kicker. Didn't really work out that much, but you wonder why there aren't more of those guys. I guess the money's pretty good in soccer these days worldwide.
Former Armada coach.
Yes, he is. Former Armada
There's
coach,
like
Tony Maiola.
Correct.
So that happened back in 1994. Here are the birthdays today, or at least the birthday boys. Jeff Loggeman, born on this date, the 14th pick in the 1989 NFL draft, as you're well aware. Brian, I'll give you full credit, though. How old is Jeff Loggeman today?
50.
He is the number one ranked part-time host on the program. We haven't done a new poll in a while. Maybe training camp can put you over the top. You did come in number two in the only poll we've ever run on this subject.
Numero deuce.
Numero deuce. Ryan O'Halloran, ladies and gentlemen. What does he say?
What is Burgundy? Numero three?
Is that what he says? Numero three? I don't know. You'd have to ask Dan and Jeff. They're the ones who can quote everything from Anchorman. All right. Tell me, how old is the only guy to win a Super Bowl MVP here in the city of Jacksonville? That would be Deion Branch, the Patriots' former wide receiver, who did win the MVP of Super Bowl 39. He is how old today?
39.
He's 38 years old. You're within one. That's good. We take that within one. How about the owner of your Jacksonville Jaguars, born on this date, Shad Khan, born on July 18th. So we got Lagerman. We've got Shad Khan. How old is Shad Khan today?
67.
Exactly. Talk about being all over Twitter. Jeez, man.
I did not see that one.
All right. The Jags tweeted that out. It's gotten hundreds of retweets, so it's all over the Twitter out there. He is exactly 67 years old. Still time, Shad. You're not too old for a new family member. Adopt me, please. All right? I've got no allegiance to my current parents. They're both passed away. So I'd love to come on and be a con. I'll change my name for you. Maybe I'll go hyphenated. I just want a little piece of that inheritance money. That's what I'm looking for. And then finally, last but certainly not least, the number one host on this show has a birthday today. No, not me. That would be Fat Tony's birthday. How about Fat Tony, Jeff Lagerman, and Shad Khan all sharing a triple header of a birthday? How old is Fat Tony?
29.
Wow.
Is that right?
No, it's not right. But, man, he doesn't look that good, does he, Tyler? Fat Tony is 34 years old today. So you're off by 5 years on Fat Tony, right on everybody else for the most part. Yeah, you nailed Lagerman because we had told you how old he was. Shad Khan is 67 today. Deion Branch turns 38 years old today. And Fat Tony, will be back with us next week, is 34 years young today. This Dayton football presented by Dr. James McCullough's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, conveniently located here in Jacksonville on Gate Parkway. If you're in the market for a family dentist, maybe you need cosmetic work done, they're a certified Invisalign provider. They offer 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. And if you have a snore in the family, the Somnomed Custom Fit Mouth Guard can help you or your loved one cut out that annoying habit. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, guys, Kirk Cousins did not get a new deal, which means he will play the 2017-18 season on a one-year deal before becoming a free agent next summer on the franchise tag. And Washington President Bruce Allen met the media and claimed that they offered him a deal with $53 million guaranteed, but for some reason, Bruce kept calling Kirk, Kurt, with a T, including six times in 2 minutes.
Kurt, the Redskins defended that by saying that's his accent.
Yeah, I was wondering where that came from, because I hadn't heard this live, and somebody referenced this on Twitter. So go ahead, Tyler, we got the audio on that? Go ahead.
Kurt.
It almost sounded like he said Curtis at one point.
Curtis Kurtz.
Yeah, I didn't hear any Kirk in there. There's no accent that makes a K into
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that's how they defended it. But Kirk Cousins said it.
What a spin job by the PR team to say that was an accent that caused the mispronunciation. I don't understand that at all. And Cousins was actually asked about it this morning on a conference call. And he said, quote, "I've been called Kurt my entire life. Doesn't matter. It is what it is. It's fine. Not a big deal." Also said that playing in Washington is his first choice. And the deadline for Le'Veon Bell to sign a long-term deal also has come and gone. Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert said the Steelers will resume efforts to sign Bell and keep him in Pittsburgh after the season, so he'll play this season under the $12.1 million franchise tag, and he will be a free agent in 2018, but can't get franchise tagged again. At the Texans' home game on November 19th against the Cardinals, Houston will induct Andre Johnson as the first member into the team's Ring of Honor during halftime. Johnson is 11th on the all-time receiving yards list with 14,185. Panthers owner Jerry Richardson announced that general manager Dave Gettleman has been relieved of his duties. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport said that Gettleman was in a, quote, shaky place with ownership, pointing to, quote, rumblings that all was not well between Gettleman and Richardson after the GM allowed Josh Norman to walk away last offseason. And D'Angelo Williams was one of a group of former Panthers to voice their opinions on Twitter. And Williams tweeted publicly to say, "The Panthers are off of my team. That I would not play for because of the firing of that snake, Dave Gettleman. And finally, we're back to the Colin Kaepernick topic as Mike Vick on Fox Sports 1 yesterday gave the free agent quarterback this suggestion yesterday.
First thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair. You know, I mean, listen, I'm not up here to try to be politically correct, but, you know, even if he puts cornrows in it, I don't think he should represent himself, you know, in that way in terms of, you know, just the hairstyle. Just go clean cut. You know, why not? You know, you're already dealing with a lot of controversy surrounding this issue.
That's a fascinating thing to hear you say, Mike.
That he needs to do is, you know, just try to be presentable. I mean, look, so all the social media stuff that he's doing, look, we get it. We understand it. It's time for, you know, Collins to step up in a different way. And, you know, I think primarily the reason why he's not signed to a team right now is because of the last two seasons and not being as productive.
And so that's created kind of a firestorm coming at Michael Vick on Twitter and Facebook. And Kaepernick fired back this morning on Twitter, posting a response with an image showing the definition of Stockholm Syndrome.
See, why is Michael Vick getting criticized for these comments? I mean, it's his opinion. That's what we want to hear, is people being honest and giving their opinion. I mean,
right, I don't get the Stockholm Syndrome thing. Does that mean that
he's so ingratiating,
right,
in
but
NFL
to the
coach?
NFL, right, that he wants so much to be thought of well that he's, you know, tweeting out there, speaking the company line, or whatever the case may be. I'll say this, though. Look, he's entitled to his opinion, and he's a guy who was in a similar circumstance, right? Was he untouchable coming out of Leavenworth prison? But as he said at the end, well, the reason he's not signed is he hasn't played well enough, primarily in the last 2 years. I don't think that's the reason he's unsigned. But from a football standpoint, the haircut is so far down the list. If you want to argue that he's not, you know, the ideal pocket passer for today's game, if you want to argue that his accuracy isn't what it needs to be, that he doesn't go through his progressions or any of these other things as well as he should, you can argue them. You can argue the political side of thing and the feedback that you're going to get from your fans. The haircut? If Colin Kaepernick were throwing 32 touchdowns and 7 picks and hadn't not stood for the national anthem, would anybody make a comment about his haircut? Nobody made a comment about it beforehand. I don't know what the big deal is about his haircut. Is it the afro? Is the afro seen as too militant? Is that what it is, O'Halloran? Speaking from
a
guy who probably
had that option,
doesn't have that kind of hair repertoire.
I mean, when you hear what Michael is saying there is, you think cynically, is okay, he's trying to angle himself into a broadcast position. Hey, I'm going to be bold. I don't care who I piss off. I'll criticize anybody. That was the first thing. Another thing, he just may see a guy who doesn't think quarterbacks know quarterbacks. Maybe he thinks he stinks.
Maybe he does, and that's fine. Say that if you think he stinks. I don't. Whatever. I think it's much ado about nothing either way. It's one guy's opinion on whether or not the guy should get his hair cut. Maybe he's right. Maybe there are some employers out there that, like any other line of business. I just think the world's changing, by the way. I look at kids now like who work like in a grocery store. Like when I get a job, my first job was Publix, bagging groceries back in the day. You had to have a nice short haircut above the collar, all that stuff. And now it's, I think they've adapted to the times. You also had to wear a shirt and tie back in the day. And now they wear,
not that.
Right. It's like a golf shirt or a Publix t-shirt or what, which is fine. It's just, you know, styles and what's acceptable changes over the years.
Don't you wish at the fast food place they still wore the little hats?
The hats are awesome. I used to always go in whenever we went to McDonald's when we were kids. We'd always ask for hats so you could play McDonald's when you got home. You could pretend you were, you know, you hit the big time. You had a job
Burger King
serving fries.
Burger King, get the King hat.
Oh, the crown. Yeah, but anybody got the crown. It could be your birthday. If you got the McDonald's hat, it was like you worked there. You know, the little white one. I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to get those all the time. By the way, who are the next four? Who's the top five that go into the Texans Ring of Honor? Andre Johnson's one. Arian Foster and J.J. Watt will be among the first five.
Cushing?
Possibly. Yeah. A lot of time missed due to injury. Matt Schaub's not on that list,
no,
I don't think.
No.
They may not have a guy yet. I mean, they could be working towards DeAndre Hopkins down the line or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. But I think of guys that, if they didn't play anymore for the Texans, certainly Arian Foster's retired. I think he'll go in their Ring of Honor one day. And I think J.J. Watt clearly will be in there, even if he didn't play another down.
The Texans are smart. They're not having this Ring of Honor in week one. When there's going to be a team coming in there to spoil
that's
the
ceremony. True. You don't want Andre Johnson's day to be ruined when that juggernaut of the Jags comes crashing your party.
Did the ceremony dampen it all by the Jaguars' 37-0 halftime lead?
There you go. O'Halloran calls for 37-0 beatdown in week one. It's only because the Jags call out the dogs at the beginning of the fourth quarter. I'm sure we'll get back to Ryan's piece in the Florida Times Union on training camp storylines to watch. We'll do that straight ahead. Take your calls as well if you'd like to get on at 641-1010. Let us know how many games you think Blake is going to start this year on social media, and if he doesn't start 12 or more, is that due to ineffectiveness, injury? What are you predicting for the Jaguars starting quarterback? With Ryan O'Halloran, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. Final half an hour or so of Jaguars today. This morning, midday chalk coming up at noon today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I'll get back to the text line in a minute, Ryan, but let's get some the final thoughts from your column on addressing five pre-training camp questions for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Which under the radar players, I can speak, will shine during training camp? And you ended up going with Allen Hurns. Tell me why.
Well, he seems to be sort of forgotten for a guy playing on the big contract like him. A lot of talk, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, D.D. Westbrook, a lot of people are going to talk about him when he gets on the field. I think Hurns still has a place in this offense. He was a 1,000-yard guy just 2 years ago. Could never really get out of the blocks last year, then got hurt. As I said a couple segments ago, if they line up him in the slot a lot, he's going to go against non-starting corners, a third or a fourth guy. That's something he should be able to take advantage of. And, if A-Rob gets off to a good start, that'll shade some coverage away from Hurns, and maybe he can go against, have some more one-on-one matchups. So I think Hurns is going to have a bounce-back season.
If they play with a fullback part of the time, that'll at least be some snaps that they won't be in three wide receiver sets, typically. In two wide receiver sets, put it this way, Allen Hurns, every game he played last year, he started. Okay, Marquise Lee didn't. In two wide receiver sets this year, let's say they've got a fullback, Leonard Fournette, a tailback, a tight end on the field, or even in two tight end sets, who are the two wide receivers on the field?
A-Rob, definitely, and I'll give a cop-out answer at all. I think it all depends on where they line up. If you have two receivers on the same side of the field, I think that'll be Hurns inside. If they go two wide, probably Marquise Lee, but I think their playing time will, it'll sort of mirror each other.
Who's the more productive player this year for the Jets?
I think Hurns will.
You do?
Yeah.
You think you're in the minority on that, or you
yes.
think? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you are as well.
Shocker.
That's all right. I mean, it doesn't mean you're wrong or right either way.
I can't, with Marquise last year, I can't remember, like, there's not a lot of plays I remember. You know, it was all a lot of short stuff, which was minimum product of the offense. Do they feel he can be the down, home run guy, or they want to reserve that for Allen Robinson? I think Hurns just has more diverse in what he can run, what he can do after the catch.
All right. We move on to number five out of five. Had the Jaguars made enough progress this offseason to be competitive? You say be competitive, yes. Then you forecast them finishing fourth in the AFC South.
Well, they should have more than three wins.
Is that what? How would you define competitive? Like you're not getting blown out in games, or your record is close to 500, or what?
Competitive for me is you're in every game.
You're week in, week out. You're not getting blown out.
Yeah. Because if you're in every game, chances are you're going to win some of those. I've been sort of sticking at 6-10 because. Just there's a lot of questions here. I think the other three teams in the division are better.
So at 6-10, what is the likelihood that Blake plays 16 games for them? Start 16 games.
I think
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they come down to a point where they are whatever and whatever, if they're eliminated the first week of December, if the last 3 weeks don't have any playoff implications, I guess we can't know because we don't know how Blake played to get to that point. We don't know. Maybe the defense has a massive letdown or they have a wave of injuries or whatever. Yeah. But how likely do you think the scenario is that they decide that Blake is not the long-term answer at some point this year, and they pull the plug on him so as not to risk him getting hurt and kicking in that fifth-year option guarantee?
I say 0%.
Really?
Because that's just not teams. That's not their MO, is the stash guys. You know, it's all about winning that week. Who gives them the best chance? If they decide somebody else does, then they'll make that change. If he's not, you know, if they're 3-10, chances are he probably has been hurting the team. Then maybe you do. But they're never going to spin a change by saying, "Well, we have to make sure this guy isn't the guy."
Oh, of course, they're not going to spin it that way.
But that's what they should. The last couple of years, they should have never played some of these guys in Week 16 or Week 17. Hey, get some other guys some reps here, because they should have been spooked by the Cedric Marks injury.
Right,
it was never the same.
Right.
So, but it's all about what can we do to win that game, which you got to
have. Is it different, though? They haven't been in a position where if a guy gets hurt, he's guaranteed $20 million plus.
Well, it should impact the decision big time. But
you don't think it will, it sounds like.
I don't think it will.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying they're going to be more consumed with winning this week, even if it saddles them with a $20 plus million quarterback next year that they don't think is the guy?
Put it this way. They're going into Week 17, and they need to lose to get in that top three and shot at one of those quarterbacks. If they play Blake Bortles, they got some questions to answer, because that means they should be tanking just to give themselves some options, just to trade out.
Or maybe if they are 3-12 at that point, they feel like that's their best chance to lose in Week 17.
There you go.
Right?
See, I'm not that negative.
You're not that cynical. I think I occasionally am. Let's see, this one from Froggy on Twitter. At least that's what somebody named him. He might not realize that's his name, but he does now. This nausea-causing discussion of whether Blake Bortles is going to get better is so tired. Love your show, but Mike and Ryan just cannot bring themselves to state the obvious. At least Jeff, T-Wig, Rick, and Joe state the obvious. I guess in this person's view, the obvious
is... Well, I don't want to hear the obvious.
Well, in his view, the obvious is Blake Bortles can never get any better than, I guess, he played last year. That's his view. Oh, look, if I'm betting on will he turn out to be the long-term franchise quarterback and lead this team to multiple playoff appearances, I'm betting no. But if you're saying, do I completely close off the possibility of that happening, I'm also saying no. Yeah, I think there's a chance that the formula that they put around him can bring out the best in Blake Bortles this year.
It's funny because you get people like this guy probably thinks they're still going to go 9-7.
Well, he, not apparently if Blake Bortles is at...
You know, people
position.
Talk out of both sides of their mouth. Well, playoff division. Well, the quarterback sucks.
Very next text, obviously from a different person, said Blake's going to yell, "You like that," and give the local and national media the middle finger when he goes for 4,010 yards, 28 touchdowns, and 8 picks this year.
You like that?
Go ahead. We'd all like that. Please do.
That would be a good story to cover if you actually did extend the middle finger.
Right. Hey, Ryan, here's what I have to say about
I'm a good guy here.
Are you?
He'll say, "You were with me from the beginning, Ryan."
Will he? because you failed to state the obvious in some people's minds. That's okay if that's how you feel. We just state how we feel about it, too. I told you I don't know how many times. Do I expect him to turn it around and become one of the top 15 or 10 quarterbacks in the league? I don't think he's shown the consistency that makes me believe he's going to do that. But do I leave open the possibility that he plays a lot more like 2015 this year than he did in 2016? I think, yeah, that possibility does exist. Some tweaks on the coaching staff, certainly personnel changes. You hope an upgraded offensive line and a better running game and a defense that maybe keeps them in games longer, allows fewer points, and therefore you have, even if you're trailing, less heroics needed in the second half of football games.
Yeah, you don't want to have him throwing what 500, 600 times, you know, because they're
they apparently don't want him throwing that many times.
Yeah, they want him throw it 30 times, twice a game. But every this defense is. I'm not going to be convinced they're going to be I'm not going to be convinced they're out the next step until they create turnovers. And as Todd Walsh said in his only availability, he says, get more sacks, more interceptions and fumbles. That's what's keeping
game changing plays.
Yeah. And, you know, if I'm a defensive player on this team, I know that my unit is better than the offense. So you got to help them out. You know, that doesn't mean scoring touchdowns. That
right.
Means
become the identity of a football team.
Yeah.
You know, become a defense that other teams fear.
Hop on my back.
Right. And we'll show you the way, you know, or produce some short fields for the offense, which would hopefully turn into some Leonard Fournette touchdown runs and the like. All right, we'll take a time out here at the bottom of the hour. Again, coming up midday chalk about 30 minutes from now. But next, we'll take a look at some of your reaction. We asked you today, do you expect Blake to start 12 or more games this year? And if not, why? Typically, that would be because you think he's not performing well enough to hold on to the job. So we'll look at some of your responses to that when we return in a moment. Live at EverBank with Ryan O'Howard, and I'm Mike Dempsey on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You never know when you do questions of the day if they're at all close to being a representative sample of Jaguar fandom. They typically probably are not, right? I mean, there are people that you happen to catch on social media on a given day that are the more extreme fans, and I don't mean that in the negative sense, the more passionate fans who are following the team on social media and discussing them on social media and things like that. So you don't necessarily get the full cross-section of everybody on there. Despite that, Ryan, just looking at the responses we've gotten on Facebook in particular today, either there's a lot of hope or actual true belief that Blake Bortles will bounce back and play better this year. And again, could be just wishful thinking on some people's parts, but it's a pretty overwhelming majority that think he will play more than 12 games because primarily they feel he's going to bounce back this year. Does that surprise you?
No, because there seems to be amongst that set of people who interact with us seem to be very optimistic that this defense will be very good and it will keep, and Leonard Fournette will be very good. That those two factors combined will limit the quarterback making a mess out of things. So I think the quarterback will be better. I think he'll be helped by those factors as well. So I think that's a legitimate opinion.
All right, here is a sampling of the rationale behind why they think Blake will play.
Hopefully not
12 or more
just
games.
Because.
No, we don't. Not much of that. We asked primarily, will he start 12 or more games? If not, why not? But people went on to explain why they think he will in some cases. Chad said he'll start all 16 and one playoff game. I believe he's figured out what works for him, and that is going to California in the offseason. Even if it's just a mental thing for him, I think he needs that in the summer, and he's going to turn it around.
I think doing that with the house gang, it worked 2 years ago. That's why you should go back to it.
Right, and that's what he did, at least. So there's some hope that that will be something that is different than last offseason that will help him get it turned around. Josh says, I'm going to say no. I just don't trust Bortles. I think we may see Brandon Allen after the Week 8 bye. Please prove me wrong. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Let's see. Yes, says Martin, because Fournette. And just for shiggles, first play of the year, he'd hand off to Fournette and then flea flicker it back and hit D.D. Westbrook down the sideline for a touchdown.
That would be happening.
New toys.
That would be happening.
That would be all right. That would even get your seal of approval, I think. Jimmy went with yes because after 12 games, we'll be 8-4 and rolling towards our inevitable loss at the Patriots in the AFC title game with Dede and Leonard in a tight race for Rookie of the Year title. That's a little optimistic.
Well, there's a couple predictions to unpack there.
Yes.
8-4.
Right.
AFC title game. Leonard Fournette, Rookie of the Year. Dede Westbrook, Rookie of the Year.
I can see Fournette being in the conversation because he's going to get the opportunities.
Yeah, that'd be the only one of those four predictions.
That's the only one you would bet, Leonard Fournette's in the Rookie of the Year conversation. I would probably not bet those other ones as well. What's the most likely other one to come true? I think it's 8-4. I don't think Dede Westbrook has much of a chance to be in the Rookie of the Year conversation. And I'd bet 8-4 start over I would a trip to the AFC Championship game. So, all right, there we go. Adrian said yes, because the likely alternative is that Chad Henne starts 5 or more games for the Jags, and we've already been there. It's kind of what you said. You said they'll determine in your mind that they feel like in a given week, he's the best option to win that week, no matter what the circumstances are. Let's see. Only reason, says Joshua, that he wouldn't start 12 or more is injury. It's sink or swim with Bortles this year. That was made obvious when they did not bring a vet in.
That would be my succinct opinion.
Right. But I guess my feeling is you can sink before the end of 16 games. Mm-hmm. You can determine that you've sunk and that you're going nowhere and that you're, let's say, 2-7 or whatever. And I understand at 2-7, you can still run the table and go 9-7, and who knows where that's going to put you. But if you're 2-7, the quarterback's throwing a bunch of interceptions, whatever, I do think there is, I'm more likely to believe that they would bench him after determining at a certain point this year that he is not the long-term answer. Mm-hmm. That despite all their best efforts this offseason to put him in the best position to maximize his skill set, if he's not doing it under those circumstances, I don't think they're going to wait around forever for that to turn around. Seth said he's going to start 19 games, so obviously that's a preposterous question.
Ha!
That's a guy who's bullish. I
mean, first round bye.
Absolutely.
Or the rest of starters week.
That's true. They could rest them in week 17 because you can't improve your wild card spot. You still have to play, maybe division title. Yeah. They're different scenarios to
division
start 19
title
games.
Wrapped up. You know your plan.
I think he was going towards the bye, though. That's okay. Where I think he was headed.
Well, I like that, too.
Let's see. Steve said he'll start four games to get hurt because the O-line stinks. I mean, predicting injury is tough, but we did ask you, you know, if you wanted to factor that in. How much? I guess we don't know. And that's what you said. It was one of the big mysteries going into training camp. But just from a hope standpoint, are you hopeful that the offensive line, the moves they've made, do they give you some hope that the line will be improved this year?
Well, they were, as a pass protection group, they weren't terrible last year. So you would expect them with Albert. If he's ready to go, he'll be an upgrade over Beecham. So then the other guys is AJ Cann, a better left guard and a right guard. So, you know, if I think the pass protection to me isn't as big a concern as run blocking.
Right. Do you think it'll be better? I don't think it'll be worse.
It's going to be tough to be worse.
Right.
So, you know, I'll
you
say
still don't think Cam Robinson starts unless it's at left tackle.
Yeah,
for now,
I'm in
anyway.
A definite minority there.
Yeah.
I think the addition, I think even if they, let's say the offensive line is 20% better as a run blocker, having number 27 back there is going to make them look 50% better.
That could be a good way to put it, right? You're going to have a more explosive guy to take advantage of the slightly better blocking. Let's go to Jerome on the west side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good. What's up, man?
I just want to say I think Jacksonville's in trouble. Jacksonville's in trouble, and I don't know what they're going to do about quarterback, and that's the main situation. They say they're going to decide whether to keep Bortles or not. They don't have to, but they can because they picked up his fifth-year option next year. But at the same time, let's say he goes in there, worst-case scenario, stinks it up. Well, we got Chad Henne, and he ain't going to do anything. Neither is – and Brandon Allen, they drafted him. If I was Brandon Allen, I wouldn't even re-sign with Jacksonville. To be honest with you, because they're not even giving that boy a shot.
And, how do you know they're not giving him a shot? You don't know what goes on in practice. You haven't seen a single snap he's taken in practice. You don't know what they've seen from him.
Come on, man.
What?
Oh, man, let's check down Henny right there, man. Come on, man. Stop it.
All right, Jerome. Thanks, Jerome. Appreciate the call. I wouldn't reset. Brandon Allen has been slighted as a sixth-round pick, hasn't got enough opportunities to prove he's well worth that sixth-round pick, because I guess Tom Brady went in the sixth round, and he's a Hall of Famer, so we should make Brandon Allen get in the lineup as soon as possible. Are you kidding? The guy's a freaking rookie. His head was probably spinning last year. He's running the scout team, and you're saying they didn't give him enough opportunities? You haven't seen him play a snap of meaningful football. How would you know if he's worthy of the opportunity? That to me is like, that's just criticizing the organization to criticize him, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, I do that very well.
You do.
But Brandon Allen isn't one of my points of contention.
Right. Look, he may turn out to be worth something. Tony and I talk about it all the time. The reason we think they drafted him was as an eventual replacement for Chad Henne, yeah, not Blake Bortles. You're looking at, let's get a young guy in that we can sit for a year or so behind, you know, a veteran in Chad Henne who's the backup right now, who's played a lot of football in the National Football League. I mean, look, I know there are a lot of people out there, and we talked about this too, Ryan, that don't want to see Chad Henne play under any circumstances. But the circumstance you and I have talked about, if they're 3-1, and Blake Bortles gets a high ankle sprain, he's going to miss 2 weeks. Do you want to go with a rookie or a guy who was a six-round rookie last year who's never played a snap in the NFL? Or do you want to go with a guy who started 4 or 5 seasons in the National Football League and is probably not going to melt down, right?
Yeah.
Can manage, get you in and out of the huddle, get you lined up, and it's not going to have a learning curve on the job to do it.
Yeah, because, I mean, this and under that hypothetical, this organization has momentum for the first time in a decade. And you go with the safe choice.
All right, let's get Seth and Callahan next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Doing good, guys. Hope y'all's day is going well.
Oh, it's fine.
I just wanted to speak on You know, I know Cam Robinson is our most likely bright spot on the offensive line, but I'm looking for something else to be excited about on that offensive line. And I was just kind of curious to get some thoughts out of you guys to know, because to me, the run game is more important because it's so far lacking than the pass game, and it's only going to help Bortles be better this season if we can run the ball better. So I'm just curious to know, where is another bright spot I can look at on the offensive line?
Well, I think Brandon Linder was a solid center last year. He only had problems with one player, and that was Marcell Dareus. Other than that, you know, I would assume he starts at center. I've been saying 97% chance, but maybe they have a curveball they're going to present to us when camp starts. So that would be the one guy. Brandon Albert's been a good player in this league for a long time.
Wasn't great last year.
Wasn't great. You know, the games I watched him, they didn't really run his way. But as a pass protector, he knows how to get in the way and block without
he's
holding.
Been a Pro Bowler twice in the league, so he's better than what they've had.
Yeah, and that's the key point. When you replace guys, are you upgrading that spot? So, I mean, once they declare who their five is, then we can start analyzing, okay, what's the fit? And why did they make these decisions?
Yeah, to me, it's great if you've got an offensive line that's dominant like Dallas's. Most people don't look at the offensive line, I think, and say, give me a reason to be excited. They just say, give me competence. Don't get my quarterback killed. Be reasonably effective in opening up holes in the run game. Don't be deficient. Look, if you've got a great offensive line, that's fantastic. They don't need a great offensive line, in my opinion, to contend for the AFC South this year. They need league average or better. And will they be that? We'll find out. But there's at least some hope that they can improve because you've got some new bodies in the room, like Brandon Albert and Cam Robinson. Again, like you said, Linder's the best of the lot, but I'm not going to get too excited about offensive linemen in general, period. I'm always excited when Terrence calls in, however. Terrence is downtown checking in on Jaguars today. Hello, Terrence.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Hey, Ryan. Is Fat Tony doing right there?
It's his birthday today, Terrence, and you should be singing to him right now, but he's got the week off.
Oh, happy birthday, Tony. I hope he's having fun. Mike, I see your blood pressure went up when he said have Brandon Allen to come in there.
No, my blood pressure went up when he acts like the Jaguars owe something to Brandon Allen. Who the hell is Brandon Allen that they owe him playing time? He was a 6th-round pick. Go earn your playing time. For all we know, he stunk it up at every practice. Now, I'm not saying he did, but we don't get to watch these practices, and Jerome certainly doesn't either. So he has no earthly idea how good Brandon Allen was and how he looked for the Jags, running scout team or otherwise last year. That's my thing. When he says that if I'm Brandon Allen, I wouldn't resign with them because they're not treating me fairly. How do you know he could hit the broadside of a barn in practice? What is treating Brandon Allen fairly? You have no way of knowing what the definition of that is. So it's a ridiculous point to make. And that's why, not that I think Brandon Allen can't play. None of us know.
Mike. If you only win in 3 games a year, you're telling me with the starting quarterback, why not give him a chance? If the number one quarterback gets 3 games, I'm sure Brandon can get us 3 games or 4 games out of the year. I mean, you might as well give him a look. You're not losing anything.
Appreciate the call.
That makes sense.
I mean, we've talked about this a couple of times during this show, is what are the hypotheticals under which they want to take a look at Brandon Allen, not to help them win this year, but to find out if he's an option for next year. This season would have to fall off
right,
the tracks.
If it goes completely off the rails, right? But up to this point, when Jerome calls and says they're not giving Brandon Allen a fair chance, he's been in the league for 1 year, and he was a 6th-round rookie. Mm-hmm. The idea that Jerome has any clue if Brandon Allen is ready to play football is just ludicrous. Play football in the National Football League. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but you just say, just throw him out there. I get the sometimes, you know, the unknown it's worth taking a chance on. But they have a little bit more. He's not completely unknown to them. Mm-hmm. They see him. They didn't even elevate him to the backup status last year, Ryan.
I mean, they reworked Henny's deal to keep him.
Right. So maybe they saw Brandon Allen and said, wow, you know what? Maybe 2-3 years down the road, this guy could turn into a player. He's a lot further away from being that than a lot of people realize. I'm not saying that's definitively what they think, but that's just as plausible as anything else to say that I wouldn't re-sign with him on Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen, be lucky you're on a roster in the National Football League right now, and no six-round pick is owed anything in terms of playing time or anything else other than a fair evaluation. And I'm sure the coaching staff is not trying to hold back their future superstar for, I mean, what would possibly be the reason other than they didn't think he was the best option to win in any given week last year. Mm-hmm. That's what it boils down to. All right, let's get Rick Ballew in here because Midday Chalk is coming up at the top of the hour. Hello, Rick. How
hey,
are
Rick.
You?
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on?
How you tell us? Have the Jaguars treated Brandon Allen unfairly? No, don't answer that. That was a facetious kind of question. Rick, we're a week out from training camp. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What is the thing that, other than Blake Bortles, and we talk so much about him, we'll continue to talk a lot about him, what is the one thing you're most looking forward to seeing with the Jaguars come to fruition during training camp?
Well, it's a long list, but I'll just go with the overall offense. What does it look like when they're going against one another? I mean, do you get the feeling that they're really going to try to take pressure away from Bortles and address the run? Are we going to see a lot of fullback? Are we going to see a battle there to see who next to Lewis on the team is considered a decent blocking tight end? So I'm just interested overall in how they come out, how they line up, instead of spinning the ball all around the yard where they, you know, think they have wide receivers. Are they going back to the basics just a little bit and trying to get it done first on the ground? And obviously the game will dictate that. If you're trailing by a couple of scores early in the first half, you're going to be forced to pass. But I'm just interested in seeing how that goes early on in camp.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's one of the interesting – look, there are a lot of great storylines, Ryan, that yeah, which is why we kind of ran through some of the ones you wrote about today.
Yeah, I mean, to Rick's point, I want to see ones against ones. You know, I want to see how this offense can handle some adversity in camp going against their own guys. And if this number one defense, you know, at times when we are able to watch, they were pretty dominant in these offseason practices. No pads, no pass rush, et cetera. But I'm interested to see, does Doug Marrone want to ratchet up the competition, ratchet up the urgency once the pads go on by having ones versus ones to see how these guys are tested?
And, Rick, we know we're going to get to see them against the Patriots and the Buccaneers as well, and that'll be probably a better measuring stick than anything they do against themselves this offseason.
Yeah, and I think last year, you know, really turned things around, particularly with Fowler. I mean, he looked like he was blowing everyone away the first couple of weeks, and all of a sudden he lined up against those big tackles in Tampa, and you know, it was a step back for him, maybe to the point where he was never really able to get back to where he was, you know, the first couple of weeks. So, yeah, you practice against the world champions. You practice against Tampa, who many believe are, you know, a playoff team, possibly a wild card team when it's all said and done this year. That's great for the Jaguars to get a couple of clubs to work out against.
All right, what do we got coming up today in the Midday Chalk?
Well, we got quite a bit today. We got some NFL to dive into, a little bit more in the world of college football. It's interesting, yesterday I threw out, you know, who's this year's Penn State? Who's this year's Washington? I'm not talking about the top five or six schools in America, but who do you see coming from around the top 25 or outside of the top 25 that can really make a run? And, you know, Oklahoma State's been getting a lot of play. I heard that from a few people in Charlotte. I actually mentioned South Florida yesterday. And, gentlemen, even though I don't think they can get there because they're not in one of the Power Five conferences, Kirk Herbstreit today said that he thinks they can get there. So we got a little bit of college football today, including maybe the Bulls down the road in Tampa. Could they make the Big Three, the Big Four in this state? I doubt it, but Herbie right now is he's blowing their horn, if you will.
Yeah, they were unanimous pick to win their conference, I think, as well. So
11-2 we'll a year
I'm
ago.
I'm betting no.
Yeah, I am too. I just with a 4-team playoff, I can't see anyone out of the Power Five. Obviously, Notre Dame would be in the conversation, but I can't see a team out of the Power Five making it.
All right, Rick, we'll be listening to Midday Chalk coming up in a few minutes. Thanks, buddy.
All right, see you guys.
All right, there he goes, along with T-Wig and Joe C. They'll have the Midday Chalk for you coming up in just a few minutes. What do you have coming up in the TU, Ryan O'Halloran? Positional previews?
Yeah, which are, you know, we've saved a lot of good stuff, we feel, for the next week. John has the running backs tomorrow. Then I have the receivers for Friday, quarterback Sunday. And then, you know, not much going on here, even though the rookies are reporting tomorrow. So our first day talking to people, I think, is the 26th. But I'll be in before that. We can rehash more stuff.
If we do run a new poll, is there anything you'd like to stump for as to why people should vote for you as their favorite Jaguars Today co-host? Or is it just that obvious?
I'm here every week.
This is true.
Reliability.
This is true.
It's like an old shoe.
I don't see Logman and Garrard in here every single week. There's that. All right, we'll see if we get around to that.
Familiarity.
Coming up tomorrow, a couple of my favorites on Twitter, a couple of Jaguar fans. We've always done we've done a lot of shows with fans coming in and kind of sitting in for part of the program. They've always been guys. I've got a couple of them out there on Twitter. Mary C. Squared and Little Grandma is what you may know them as. We're going to join us in studio tomorrow, talk about Jaguar fandom from a female perspective, among other things that we get into tomorrow. Tom McManus going to join me in studio for at least part of Thursday's show. Richard Miller is going to join us on Friday in studio as well, as we'll be here at Everbank all week long. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, and happy birthday to Fat Tony. Happy birthday to Fat Tony. Happy birthday to Shad Khan. And happy birthday to Jeff Loggeman. Yes, in that order. Exactly in that order. That's right. I've pretty much given up. Unless, Shad, if you adopt me, I'll move you into the number one spot. Other than that, I'm going with Fat Tony in the lead position. That does it for us today. Thanks for tuning in. Check out Ryan on Twitter, at Ryan O'Halloran, and, of course, in the pages of the Florida Times-Union. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off. Stick around. Midday Chalk coming up next right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for my friends at Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. The month of July brings another sandwich of the month. We're about halfway through. You can still partake in a great deal on the Three Meat Trio for only $3.99 at Circle K and Kangaroo Express locations all across the First Coast. I'm talking about Hormel Top Round Roast Beef, Butterball Smoked Turkey, Black Forest Ham all piled high on an Asiago cheese sub roll. Throw in some creamy Swiss cheese, and you've got an outstanding sandwich. And again, only $3.99, the Three Meat Trio at Circle K and Kangaroo Express for the rest of the month. You want to go old school? How about the ham and cheese twist? Black Forest ham piled on with cheddar cheese, a little light mayo and pickle blend on a fresh hand-braided brioche sub roll. Just one of the many options that you got going on. Summer's in full bloom right now. Fishing trips, beach days. You think about food on the go. Think about loading up that cooler with Dandy and Anytime Deli sandwiches. You get them with super convenience, great price, and they're always delicious. Food on the go, if that's your thing, make yours a Dandy and do it today.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. You don't need a radio to listen to 1010XL. Download the free 1010XL or 92.5 FM app and listen on your Android or iPhone. 1010XL.